The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. Of her was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. Now this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. Such was his intention, when, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home, for it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took his wife into his home. The Gospel of the Lord. Okay, yes, feast of St. Joseph, San Giuseppe. Yeah, what do we have? I was thinking this morning, St. Joseph, I think he needs another title. Yeah? Would you like to hear one? Yeah, my mother even would like to hear one. This is a rare find. St. Joseph, patron saint of pastries. Okay? Well, it's like every culture has like some pastry that you have to eat today because I don't know where that comes from, but he was the carpenter, you know what I mean? It's like, what are we talking about? These dainty pastries. St. Joseph of the dainty pastries, you know? It's like, okay. I think probably because it's Lent, we just want to eat some pastries. I don't know what, you know, it's like, okay, so, and you know what? Today you can't eat pastries because it's a solemnity, okay? So a solemnity, we break our fast, okay? And then, of course, we're going to say, oh, I don't know if I can break my fast because I'm a man of such incredible religious accomplishment. Do you know it's like to break my fast in Lent? I'm not sure that I can do that. Of course, that means you have to do it, you know, because of course it's not your work. After all, we're not Pelagians. We're not earning our salvation Sometimes I can keep going, sometimes I can't, sorry. So I think the reading from the Romans is really quite impressive. I've never caught this before, but this is it. Brothers and sisters, it was not through the law that the promise was made to Abraham and his descendants that he would inherit the world, but through the righteousness that comes from faith. Of course, this is what we're celebrating in St. Joseph. Abraham becomes the father of many nations. But Saint Joseph, perhaps even more so, right? And it's because of the quote-unquote righteousness that comes from faith. The word righteousness, at least the way that we translate this Greek word, we could also translate it as covenant vocation or covenant faithfulness. And I think it's even more to the point, right? Is that what we see unfolding in the life of Saint Joseph is covenant vocation and faithfulness. That he's being called for a very specific purpose, and his faithfulness then renders this promise fruitful, and the fruit, of course, of the shaping of the life of Jesus, the great apprenticeship, you know, under which Jesus was brought to manhood, was brought to full manhood. Of course, that entire time is entrusted to Saint Joseph. Like Joseph, who has this free and open communication with Jesus as it relates to that, and we who have access to Jesus, who want the perfection also of that free exchange of hearts that Saint Joseph had with him. So, yeah, you can kind of look it up for yourself. He's the patron of everything, you know. I mean, and I say that he is in fact the patron of the universal church, right? So. He's the patron of everything, but you're not going to find he's the patron of pastries. It's just, you know, it just is what it is. Okay, so in the scriptures, I think it's impressive, right? We do not see a word from Saint Joseph's mouth. Okay, we don't get a word from Saint Joseph, and yet his example is perhaps more powerful than all the words that could be spoken. You know, here we see you know his his docility to revelation. And so the angel is revealing to him, you know, how it is that Mary has come to be pregnant. He's very docile to that. He's very, very docile to that. I think it's more remarkable than we otherwise think. It's like, okay, well, yeah, of course, yeah. If an angel shows up and says, tells me something. No, but what if an angel shows up and tells you something that you don't want to hear? You know, that's a different kind of thing. And if you think that he wanted to hear this, I'm not convinced, okay? This is life-changing stuff. And there's no sense of hesitation or reservation on his part. He's like, okay, go. Right? So there's something there, the docility to revelation. And we, by the way, also are recipients of the revelation of God. You know, when God reveals something to us about himself or ourselves or about our relationships or about the world, he's seeking this docility. He wants life change when he reveals himself to us. So we don't get to sit back and, you know, I had this beautiful time in prayer this morning and, you know, I came to see that, but okay, well, what are you going to do about it? Well, no, I was just blessed by, you know, like, it just felt a bit, you know, felt a bit happier. Well, okay, feeling a bit happier, that's great. Okay, we can feel a bit happier. But usually the revelation of God, I say usually because, you know, everywhere in Scripture, when we see the revelation of God, we see action as a result. We see people changing. We see people going off in mission as a result of the word that God speaks. We see it in Joseph. I think that we have to be at least as docile to the instruction of God as he makes us, right? We want, of course, to keep Joseph as our example, but we want to also ourselves journey in that direction. I think that's the same thing, right? We see as Joseph is sent the angel to give him directions as it relates to care of the Holy Family. Right. Again, there's no reservation. There's no hesitation there. It's just to do what love demands, and how good is his faithful stewardship there. And then really, I think it's quite marvelous in the scriptures. Although I think it's a slight that is say hurled Jesus's way. You know, isn't this the son of the carpenter? You know, isn't that the son of the tradesman? Isn't that the son of the carpenter? However you want to see that, right? The day laborer or whatever it may be. Isn't that the son of the carpenter? But look, Jesus is identified as the son of the carpenter. You know, this I think is to St. Joseph's credit. You know, this is the apprenticeship of life and love, and even the trade, right? To be for the man to be working with his hands, to be making a living, and to be, can I say, scraping by? Okay, so, oh, maybe this is good. Maybe St. Joseph can be the patron saint of scraping by. You know, it's like, because it's just the sense of the thing is that we all, at least from time to time, just feel like we're scraping by. You know, and maybe it's because he's scraping by. Maybe this is why it makes him so docile to God. You know, it's in fact in our comfort and our largesse and the rest, when we feel like we have something to lose, that we're not so eager to listen to God. So maybe we can pray to the patron saint of scraping by, and we can actually see the blessedness of our own condition and cultivate that docility to God that brings forth covenant in response to covenant vocation, covenant faithfulness, and in fact covenant fruitfulness.